Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25 is a tremendous preaching verse. And rather than just study on and look at some of the doctrinal things, we really want to see what this verse has to say because it deals so greatly in type and in position with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. You see, what happened is, Eli came to his sons and he said, you got a problem, boys. I mean, it's a no good report that I hear of thee. You know, they were lying with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They were stealing offerings. They were sons of Belial. We talked about all that in the prior lesson. So using the proceedings of a court to illustrate the problem that Eli's sons are going to have with God, Eli implored them to repent of their wicked deeds. What he said was, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. And we understand that. But if a man sin against the Lord, here's the question, who shall entreat for him? Well, like so many men who are faced with the reality of their judgment before God, these boys just scorned Eli's question, and they kept right on doing what they were doing. They hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Now listen, if you were sued by somebody and you were going to be hauled into court for something you did that was wrong, you wouldn't nonchalantly wait around for your court date and then walk up casually to the judge and say, you're a good guy, Mr. Judge. You wouldn't sentence a good guy like me, no matter what this other fella says. So declare me innocent, let's get on with the day. No, you wouldn't do that at all. You would hire an attorney, and you'd gather your evidence, and you would tell everyone who's willing to listen to you that you are innocent. That's what you do. But you know something? When suddenly you're faced with your judgment before Almighty God, you act like this isn't going to be any good big deal. That you're a good guy, and you're going to walk in there, and you're going to tell the Lord, you know, I never shot anybody. I never stole nothing. I'm being a little sarcastic because when we talk to people about the Lord, they'll say that. We'll say, we just want to talk with you about the Lord. If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? I never stole nothing. I never shot anybody. I never killed anybody. You see how that is? And you think somehow or another you're going to get up there and make that testimony before God and walk up to him and say, you're a good guy, Mr. God. You wouldn't condemn a good guy like me. People say it in different ways, but they say it all the time. I just don't see how a loving God who's merciful could throw anybody in hell. That's, you see. It's from that same thing. I'm going to deal nonchalantly. I'm going to deal casually with this upcoming judgment. I'm going to scorn this preacher who has come to talk to me about the Lord. What business of it is his anyway. And I'm not going to listen to this guy. And my question to you is like the question that Eli asked his sons. Who's going to entreat for you? Now, Eli tried to talk some sense into his sons, and they wouldn't listen to him. And I'm going to try to talk some sense into you, and I hope you will listen. You have a problem coming up one of these days, and you have to do something about it if you're going to survive it. You're going to face God at a judgment concerning everything you have done in your life, and there is no way you're going to be able to represent yourself at that judgment. For one thing, you'd be too scared. And for another thing, you won't know what to say. You have no standing in that court. You have sinned, and you have sinned against the Lord God Almighty. That's what Eli was saying to his sons when he asked this question. Now look, very simply, if you stole $5 from me and courts listened to a $5, or say $5,000, because courts might take that case. You stole $5,000 from me. Okay, we go to court. You present your evidence. I present my evidence. And the judge says, you know what? You did steal the money. Pay him his $5,000 back. Pay these court fees and pay, $500 as a fine for stealing it. Or whatever the court may say. I mean, if it's an honest court and you really did it, you are going to lose, okay? And you're going to have to repay the money. That's just the way it is. The judge will judge him. And listen, when you get away from there, you may say, that fool had it coming and he shouldn't have left that money lying around for me to take it and tempt me that way. And I really needed the money and he's got a lot. And why would he worry about me taking some money? I mean, after all, he's got more money than he knows what to do with it. And I don't have a dime. And you might say all that stuff when you get out of the courtroom. But ultimately, the judge is going to rule according to the law and the evidence. And if he finds that the law and the evidence are similar, in this case, you lose. And that's all there is to it. And it doesn't make any difference how well you're represented. If you're guilty, and it can be proved that you're guilty, you're going to pay, if you have it to pay. All right, so why would you think somehow or another it's going to be different than then when you get to heaven's court, and God has all these charges against you, and somehow or another you're going to think, well, I'm going to have a good attorney who's going to argue me out of these things? When I haven't even concerned myself with having anybody to represent me in that court? Well, that's foolishness. I mean, down here, at least if you thought you were innocent, you would hire somebody to represent you. And if you knew you were guilty, you would hire somebody to represent you to try to keep the judgment from being too harsh and too severe. And yet when it comes to a judgment before Almighty God, you're like, well, my sins aren't enough to throw me in hell. How do you know that? Do you even know what sin is? I mean, the Bible is so full of descriptions and definitions of sin that go far beyond, I ain't never shot nobody and I ain't never stole nothing. I mean, where do people come up with this? Or they may even say, if they can honestly say it, I've never cheated on my wife. But why do you think those are the only three things God is going to use to pass judgment on you? Whatever gave you that idea? The Bible says, if a man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How many times have you had a good intention you didn't do? The Bible says, all unrighteousness is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. Every time that accelerator causes your car to exceed the speed limit, lead foot, you're breaking the law. And when you break the law, you're transgressing. And when you transgress, that's sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whoever hath respect of persons committeth sin. James chapter 2 verse 10, you break one, you've broken them all. If you never did kill anybody, but you took the name of the Lord God in vain, then you're a murderer. You're guilty of the whole thing. And so you see, you didn't know that. Well, Eli knew what his boys were getting ready to face. And I know what you're getting ready to face because I've read the Bible. And I'm not trying to hold myself out as some sort of authority. The Bible is the authority, and I can tell you with absolute assurance that it knows more about sin than you do. And the fact that it knows more about sin than you do will put the Bible in judgment over you at your disadvantage. Okay? John chapter 12, verse 48 is very clear here. He that rejecteth me, that's Jesus Christ speaking, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And you don't even know what it says, so how are you going to stand up and plead your case in ignorance against the law? You can't. So listen, you're going to need somebody to entreat for you. The question that Eli asked his sons is very simple. Who shall entreat for him? And my question to you is, who shall entreat for you? You're going to need someone to entreat for you. the question that Eli asks is who, and the question I ask you is who? Who's going to do this? Your mother? I realize that mothers, typically when their sons are guilty, will stand up and interview with the press afterwards, but he was such a good boy. Well, I know, but he's on his way to the penitentiary. Well, you just don't know him like I do. I understand that. That's a mother. Your mother's not going to be able to carry any weight with God in this particular case any more than Eli could carry weight with God on behalf of his sons. You're going to need somebody, and I'm going to give you from the Bible four qualifications for the person you need. The person you need is Jesus Christ. And here are the four reasons. First of all, you need the daysman, Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Job chapter 9 and verse 33. I love this passage of Scripture. Job chapter 9, verse 33. Now, the verse is in a context, and we probably want to pick it up. Let's say from verse 29. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Now, you don't use the word daysman today, but you use words that come from it. A daysman is an arbiter. That's what he is. He is an arbiter, and because he knows the law, and because he knows God's judgment, he's qualified to judge himself. He's like an umpire. You know, an umpire is there to uphold the law of the game. And so if somebody does something that is contrary to the law of the game, or does something that is defined by the law of the game, he makes a call based upon the law and what he's seen. He judges, you see. So when you think of yourself, God, and you in a court of judgment concerning your eternity and the life that you led down here, basically you have God on one side and you have you on the other. Well, okay, a daysman acts in behalf of the judge. He is the arbiter. In other words, if you put the thing on a scale and you say, okay, on my left-hand side is God and on my right-hand side is me, then the arbiter, the daysman, is over on God's side and acts on behalf of God. Okay? And Jesus Christ is the only one who can take the hand of God and take your hand and bring you and God together in a judgment. Notice what Job said in Job 9:33. Neither is any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Do you see that? So he's judging on behalf of God, but he can take you by the hand at the same time. Do you see? And here's the beauty of that. Because he can do just that, a daysman then can call the shot immediately. He can make the call of the judgment today. In other words, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to find out how God is going to determine your eternity. You don't have to wait until you get to that judgment to find out whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Because an arbiter, a daysman, can judge today. And you can count upon his judgment based upon what he wrote in the Bible and take it with you all the way to your eternity and use it when you get before the judge, God Almighty, and say, this is what the daysman said. In other words, he can guarantee you eternal life. He can guarantee that you pass the judgment. You say, how in the world can he do that? There's just no way that any man can know whether he's going to make it to heaven or hell. You've been taught that by religion, but you don't know that innately. You believe that because that's what your priest or your pastor or your mother or your father or some friend of yours said, or something you read in a book, or just your very thought about the thing. But that's not the truth. Consider the thief on the cross. The day that the Lord Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, there were two thieves, one on his left hand and one on his right hand, that were crucified with him. And at first they were both reviling him. They didn't have good things to say about him. They were mocking him like the rest of the crowd. But after a period of time, one of the thieves began to repent of what he had done. He realized that he was in error, and he scolded the other thief and said, "You know something? We're up here because we belong up here. We've done something wrong, but this man has done nothing amiss. He doesn't deserve to be up here." And so he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And the Lord looked at him and said, "This day thy soul shall be with me in paradise." Now, how could Jesus Christ make that judgment while he's hanging on the cross? The way he could do it is, he's the arbiter, he's the daysman. He could make that declaration. Who was it that appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Well, it was Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus Christ do? Well, he confronted Paul about persecuting the church, but he said, "You're persecuting me." And Paul said, "What will that have me to do?" And then he told him, "Go to Damascus," and so forth, "and you're a chosen vessel unto me to preach the gospel," and so forth. And listen, the daysman dealt with Paul on the spot, put him into the body of Christ, and called him to be a preacher, and made him an apostle, and used him gloriously for the kingdom of God. You say, how in the world could he do that? Because he's the daysman. He acts on behalf of God. He can judge. He's qualified to judge. Now listen, there was a day when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a sinner. And you know, men have a hard time admitting that they're sinners and that whatever it is they've done is something that will cause them to be punished in eternal fire by the Lord God. But I recognized that I was a sinner. And I recognized that I was going to stand before God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I was not prepared to stand before God and give account of anything. So I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, right then, he gave me eternal life. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Do you understand? You don't have to wait till the judgment. I was passing out tracts one time to some city employees, and one of them was just standing around with his arm on the shovel. You've seen the picture before, waiting on his turn. And so I engaged him in a brief conversation, and I said something to him like I've just said to you. And he says, "I'll take my chances." He said, I'm going to wait till I get up there and let God judge. Well, that's a stupid thing to do. Because if you wait till you get up there for God to judge, I can guarantee you how the judgment is going to go. If you didn't have the daysman Jesus Christ to declare you righteous here before you die, you'll never have God Almighty to declare you righteous up there. You're already too late. You blew it. And so did that guy, unless he took that tract and reconsidered what I had said to him and took that witness and decided he better take care of business before he dies. That's the daysman. You're going to need somebody to entreat for you. And Eli asked the question, who shall entreat for him? Well, I'll tell you, the mediator, Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and look at verse 5. The mediator, Jesus Christ. Now, again, we're in a context here of God our Savior from verse 3, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. All right, so he's a mediator. Now, you know, probably more familiar with a mediator than you are, let's say, with a daysman or an arbiter. A mediator is simply a go-between. All right, so look again at your scale. You've got God on your left hand, and then away over here on your right hand, there's you. Well, as a daysman, Jesus was over there on God's side. As a mediator, he's right in the middle. He's right between you and God. And Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men. Look again in verse 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. There is one God, watch it, and how many mediators? One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. In order for a lawyer to practice mediation, That is, he's going to look at both sides. He's not, the lawyer's not representing one side or the other. He's in the middle, in mediation. He's simply trying to take whatever's on one side and whatever's on the other side and bring them to a common place of agreement. All right, well, for a lawyer to practice mediation, he has to be licensed and he has to be accepted by the court as a due representative in those proceedings, because whatever he decides will be entered into the court record as if it were a court proceeding. Well, you know something? The only man allowed by God to mediate between himself and sinners is the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't recognize anybody else. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not any of the Hindu gods, not Allah, not anybody, not even Mary. Mary will never do. She's not a mediatrix like she's been held to be in the church. Jesus Christ is the only one allowed by God to mediate. Right in the middle. Which means he's going to plead your case to a degree, and he's going to plead the case of God to a degree, because he's right in the middle. He's going to try to bring you together. His purpose is to reconcile you to God. That's what his purpose is, as a mediator. You know, as a daysman, his purpose is to judge on behalf of God, to recognize that you are found guilty before the Lord, but he's going to take care of that guilt and, like the thief on the cross, let you into paradise. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, watch it, be ye reconciled to God. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to reconcile you to God. And you're not reconciled to God when you're not covered. You're not prepared to meet your God. All right, who's going to entreat for him? Well, the daysman Jesus Christ is. The mediator Jesus Christ is. I'll tell you who else. The advocate Jesus Christ is going to entreat for you. 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, an advocate is a lawyer, basically. And in this case, he's a defense attorney in the case of the court of God's judgment. All right, well, take a look again at your scale. On the left-hand side, far side, you have God, and on the right-hand side, you have man. When Jesus Christ is the daysman, he's over there on God's side, arbitrating, judging on behalf of the Lord. As a mediator, he's right in the middle between you and God. But as an advocate, you know what? He's on your side. That's right, he's the defense attorney. And Jesus Christ, get it? Listen carefully. Jesus Christ is the only advocate, watch it, who has never lost a case. He's on your side. That's right. He's on your side. He is going to advocate for you on your sin. You say, you know what, I've done something really bad. I did, and then fill in the blank, whatever that may be. And everybody might say, man, that was a really bad sin. You know what? He'll defend you. That's right. You say, but I don't merit defense. I merit guilt. I'm not worthy of defense. I'm worthy of death. Well, Paul said the same thing. If I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. Well, the Lord looks at you and say, you know something? You're right. You don't deserve this. But then I am a defense attorney, and my heart's desire is to defend people against the judgment of God, and I'll defend you. Remember how we read just a little while ago that the Word of God will judge you, and you got to know what it is? You know the benefit of having an attorney in a court of law? He knows the law, and he knows the proceedings. Many cases have been won because of technicalities in the law, where the attorney recognizes, hey, there's a problem here. I was sitting on a jury one time, and so the proceeding was going on, and one of the witnesses, who happened to be a close party in this whole problem in this criminal case, said in her testimony, when asked, what did you do next in a particular altercation, she said, well, I called his parole officer. His attorney stood up and said, Judge, we were excused. 5 minutes later, we were informed there was a mistrial. We weren't supposed to know that he'd ever had any trouble with the law before. Well, see, his attorney caught that. His attorney knew that and used that in defense Jesus Christ knows things concerning the words of God, and he knows the ways to deal with the Word of God much better than you do. He's the Word of God incarnate. And let me tell you something. He's on your side, and he'll represent you if you'll hire him. Now I got to hurry. One other one. You need the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, is the propitiation for our sins, which simply means that when he sacrificed himself on the cross for our sins, he appeased God's wrath for our sins, so that when he presents himself to God on our behalf, God has no wrath toward us. In other words, Jesus Christ has substituted for our sins and paid for them fully, and there's no more need for a sacrifice. Again, looking at the scale, God's on one side, you're on the other side. As the daysman, Jesus is over there with God. As the mediator, he's right in the middle. As the advocate, he's on your side. You know what? As the lamb, you're not even in the picture. He has so covered you that God can't see you. All he sees is his son. And when you receive Jesus Christ, he looks at you when you receive him, and he says, you know what? You look just like my son. And of course, you're welcome into his kingdom. Now, if you're going to have an attorney represent you in court, you'd have to hire him. And when you do, you're going to want the best. Well, let me tell you something. In order for Jesus Christ to represent you, you're going to have to receive him. And he is the best. As a matter of fact, he's the only one. And the way to receive him is to simply ask him. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And if you ask Jesus Christ to save you, he will do it. And he'll be your daysman, your mediator, your advocate, and your lamb. And you will go to heaven, my friend.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.